Jibba Jabba. WKRK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What we have now is a completely neurotic population obsessed with security and safety and crime and drugs and cleanliness and hygiene and germs. There's another thing, germs. Where did this sudden fear of germs come from? Have you noticed this? The media, constantly running stories about all the latest infections, salmonella, E. coli, hantavirus, bird flu, and Americans panic easily, so now everybody's running around, scrubbing this and spraying that, and overcooking their food and repeatedly washing their hands, trying to avoid all contact with germs. It's ridiculous, and it goes to ridiculous lengths. In prisons, before they give you a lethal injection, they swab your arm with alcohol. It's true. It's true. It's true. Well, they don't want you to get an infection. And you can see their point. Wouldn't want some guy to go to hell and be sick.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. There we go.
The recipe for indifference. The Don and Mike Show.
I still have Joe trick-or-treating for beer on today's show.
Yes.
Day after Halloween.
Already scoped out his neighborhood.
And also, our emails are exploding. From, all of the family, all the pickers.
Ah, they're playing. The Bay City Rollers are already playing along to that song.
Hi, Bay City Rollers.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Robbie, can I hear these guys? Can I hear these guys? Are the mics on?
Yeah, we are.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
There we go.
That was setting up there.
Hello.
There they are.
Hey, I'm here. I'm here.
Let me see. All the nitpickers are calling. Strip trivia. Peter Criss apparently was the first to leave Kiss. Not Ace Frehley. I'm just going by the questions.
Well, she said Gene Simmons anyway.
From the 19.
That was the answer to the question.
Wasn't
so.
The first to leave in the 80s, though.
It was in the 80s. And also someone else wrote in and said Little Shop of Horrors was out in 1986, not in 1982.
But it doesn't matter because it's the same. It doesn't affect the question.
The clue was the songs that were in the musical. And
right.
Nitpickers just go to hell. Seriously.
I agree.
What, Robbie?
I do, honestly. I'm sick and tired of it myself.
Sick of them.
The movie was out in 86, but the Broadway show was in 86.
Thank you very much. So F them, their families, too.
Yeah.
Now, Ian Mitchell, the Bay City Rollers. Hi, Ian. How you doing?
I'm great. Great.
And Joseph Orlando is here.
Just before you start, you guys, I want to let you know, I have been listening to you guys for the longest time.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh. We didn't know that.
Well, I was around in the days of Dennis and stuff like that.
Dennis Murphy?
Yep.
Oh my God. Well, did you out in California or around here or?
Well, I was living in Las Vegas and I used to get it there all the time.
Okay.
And then I moved to California.
Right.
I moved down to Orange County.
Okay,
we
were not heard, right?
Yeah, the station was that was carrying it. I couldn't hear it from after that.
But, right.
Well, that is very nice to hear. Thank
but
you.
I just wanted to know that I was a huge fan.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you, Ian. We appreciate that.
Well, I proudly have said to everybody, I am a Bay City Rollers fan. I'll give you just a little background why I like your music.
Yeah, thank you.
I was born in 1958. I discovered music around 1968, 1969. I had my father scream at me, don't listen to Jimi Hendrix, don't listen to the Beatles. I ended up with what was on the radio at the time, which was a weird conglomeration of like Inagata De Vita and Sugar Sugar by the Archies.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was a good song.
You know, Tracy by the Cufflinks is out at the same time as Immigration Song by Led Zeppelin.
nice.
I found that I like the pop music. I like all kinds of music, but I especially like pop, top 40 music.
Today you still like anything that's got like that pop sound to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've got all your songs on my iPod, and I was back in radio back then when you guys were really hot. I got into radio when I was 13, so I was playing your records nonstop, and there was a period I got sick of them because they're playing them every hour and a half, but then after a while, I really thought, these are good goddamn catchy songs. I don't care if you're wearing dresses or kilts, whatever you're wearing.
And I'll just sum my part up. I like you because you're Irish. There we go.
Oh,
that's
well,
it. That's it.
I was thinking that, actually. Yeah. I thought I got somebody on my side up there, anyway.
How many records did the Bay City Rollers sell in the 70s?
It's estimated around about 120 million.
Wow.
And Mike, you had asked me about their hits. What I did was I went to my iPod.
Yeah, because you've got that in your brain, and I don't know that right off the
top. I actually mentioned to Mike that you guys are in my iPod when I'm on the treadmill and everything else. The hits that I came up with, Saturday Night, of course.
Right.
Then you got Money Honey.
Uh-huh.
This is my rock and roll love.
You know what's funny?
They're changing.
They're actually every hit you're mentioning, they're changing their hand positions on the guitar. they're ready to rock. Ready to do everything.
I've got requests. Hold on. You've got, of course, that I only want to be with you.
Uh-huh. That's my favorite.
Then you've got kind of a disco one. You made me believe in magic. And then you had a ballad. That's the way I feel tonight. I mean, I love these songs.
Well, I mean, when you sell that many records, I mean, it's funny because when you're explaining it, you're saying, you know, I like pop, and it's wrong to like pop, you know, and
that's a stigma that comes.
But you hear that, you know, hey man, you sold out, and you hear that all the time. Isn't the idea for anybody, Ian, that gets into this business? I mean, you want people, the most possible people, to hear what you do, and I've always had a little trouble with people that say, hey, you know, you're too pop. I mean, how do you feel about that when you hear something?
I don't know.
Like,
you know, in the 60s, they said Dylan sold out when he went electric. So, I mean, you know, how far can you take it? I mean, you got to take your career as far as it goes, you know?
Right.
And you're always going to get the naysayers. And mm-hmm. just as you said, you know, right there and then, you're going to get the nitpickers going, hey, no, 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 you know, I say, oh, get off the bus. I don't care. You know what I mean?
I remember, really, I was working at WOKY in Milwaukee. I was the music director. And the guy from Arista Records came in when you had I Only Want to Be With You.
All right, yeah.
And so the guy comes in and he says, you know, this is back in the day. They've all got the shiny clothes and the big shiny disco jackets. And they're like,
it was probably Mike Kleffner.
It could have been. I know the name. Came in and said, this is going to be their biggest record, bigger than Saturday Night, bigger than anything. And it was one of those things where you got it. And as soon as the record started, it was with the drum beat, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. I said, yeah, all right. You know, I'm gay for the Bay City Rollers. Put it on the radio.
What years are we talking about where the pinnacle? What were the years where you...
Summer of 75? Fall of 75?
End of 75, 76, part of 77.
Yeah, it was a good run.
Yeah, it was a pretty good run. Yeah,
very cool.
It was a good run. If you wouldn't mind, how'd you get this cherry gig? What are you guys doing playing at Jam and Java
in Vienna
on Maple Avenue East in Vienna, VA.
Cool.
Tonight at 8:00.
That's right. Doors open at 7:00.
All right. Very good.
Are you playing at Coffee House?
Well, it's not actually a coffee house. It's more like a community house.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's okay. It's a really, really nice place. You know, it's.
Have you played there before?
I mean, to quote Spinal Tap, we're playing to a more select audience these days.
The truth is, if you didn't come by today, I'd probably be there tonight anyway to see you. So good luck on that. That's tonight at 8:00. We'll have ticket info. Would you please, God, can I pick anyone to start with?
Okay, you can pick. You can pick anyone. It depends. But a lot of them don't work on acoustic. But I'll tell you what. What the hell? We'll give it a shot.
Okay. Well, then you can start with the slow one.
Okay.
Start with The Way I Feel Tonight.
Sure.
That's no problem. This is a great ballad by the Bay City Rollers. It's like, I want to say like 77.
Okay.
Yeah.
Graduated high school.
77.
They're Bay City Rollers.
Turn the music way down low. Let me see you in the glow. In the firelight, you are shining. Though it's much too soon to know. Let's take tonight to start our finding. Cause the way I feel tonight, everything will be alright. And I will keep your candle burning. Yes, the way I feel tonight, everything will be alright. And the way I feel tonight, I love you.
Hey, bravo.
I mean, bravo!
God damn, I love that song.
That
is a great melody. That is a great song.
That was my wedding song when I got married.
Now, is it how tough is it when you're taking the mega hits you have, which are not acoustic songs, and reworking them? Is that hard to do?
No, it's a lot easier because I play them the way I think they should have sounded in the first place.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I really do, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bay City Rollers were basically power pop. It's just we were never allowed to like extended to that sort of situation. We were actually more like the babies than the babies were. You know?
How controlled? You always hear about artists that come on in that era of music. You hear about the controls that are put on them, where you have, you know, even the Beatles, where you've got a producer that's going to say, don't do this, don't do this. When you guys got hot, when you became stars and you started selling your records, did a lot of people want it to stay that particular way, to have that Bay City Roller sound and say, oh, don't try this.
Well, they had kind of a signature sound, though.
They did definitely had a signature sound.
Yeah, I don't think any members of the band wanted to change the sound as such. I think that the material content was under question at the time, and I don't think the band was allowed to expand songwriting-wise as much as we wanted to, even though, many other people in the business would tell you different. We were not allowed to expand.
Well, the record company, from their standpoint, they said, we got a hit machine here.
Right. Exactly.
These guys put out a hit record every 4 months.
And like anybody in the 70s, I always have to ask this question. Are all the members of the band still alive? The original band still alive?
Everybody's still alive.
Nobody, like, jumped off a cliff, jumped into a pool, broke their neck, OD'd, or anything like that?
We're all kicking it. Very it's good. Great. That's mm-hmm. really,
All right, time for another song. Now, let's see if you can handle You Made Me Believe in Magic.
Okay, well, that's a little bit of a different one. We don't have the bass with us,
but
I'll tell you what, we can just try it from the...
How about just the hook? Just the hook. Just give me the hook on that one.
Okay, it's like...
Can I make a request from my favorite? Because I remember, I don't know if you can do it or not, you know, because it's like, it is very produced. Saturday night, I mean, you don't do that, do you?
Yeah,
can you do that acoustically?
We can try it, yeah.
I'd love to hear how it would sound.
I'm going to keep on dancing to the rock and roll on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Dancing to the rhythm with a heart and soul.
I get that.
Finished the show with that one, have you?
Right.
I'm sure.
Good night.
Okay.
So you were like 6, right, when the band was popular? I mean, looking at you and listening to you, you don't look like the road has been very rough for you. It looks like
you've
held up very well.
Oh, thank you.
Is it true that when they were coming up with the band's name, This is something that's been passed down in DJ folklore, that someone in the band or someone at the record company got a map of the United States, just put a finger on a city, and it was Bay City, Michigan. Is that true or false?
It's kind of true. It was a map of the states, and it was a pin, actually, that the drummer, Derek, what he did was he, you know, they put the map down, they were looking for an American sound name, and, you know, there was like the Detroit Spinners, so they were looking for a city, and it happened to land on Bay City. However, right beside Bay City was the lake, and in white letters down beside it was Rollers, which we later found out was because of the waves.
You guys had to be so high when that happened.
We are going to pick the name of our band now. Someone put it into the map.
It says Rollers right under it.
All right, Ian, please.
Yeah, but you got good gear back then. So.
I only want to be with you. Great remake. These guys did a great remake of a 60s song. Bay City Rollers.
I don't know what it is that makes me love you so. I only know I never want to let you go. Cause you started something, can't you see? That ever since we met you had this hold on me. It's crazy, but it's true. I only want to be with you. It doesn't matter where you go or what you do. I want to spend each moment of the day with you. Cause look what has happened with just one kiss. I never knew that I could be in love like this. It's crazy, but it's true. I only want to be with you. You stopped and smiled at me. You asked me if I cared to dance. I fell into your open arms, man. I didn't stand a chance.
So listen, honey,
I just wanna be beside you everywhere. As long as we belong the floor on the chair. Cause you started something, can't you see? That ever since we met you had this hold on me. It's crazy, but it's true. I only wanna be with you.
No matter. Hey,
no matter what you, where are you going? Dun,
dun. Oh, he's going to ask to perform with you tonight.
I only want to be with you every day. No matter what you do.
Down, down, down.
I only want to be with you.
Yes. Oh, there's more. Oh, I mean, I would go for another round if you wanted to.
No, I mean, you know, seriously, he is going to ask to perform with you. He really is.
No need, Mike.
Do you think you want to do that? I'm getting the same vibe that when you know, when you performed with the Grassroots.
No, I'm
doing
it here and now, though.
Oh.
Yeah, I did.
Cool.
He stalked them also. Yeah. Yes, get used to that. Absolutely.
Excuse me for being a fan. Remember, you can't spell fanatic without fan.
Absolutely. You know, this might be a weird question for you because, I mean, well, how old were you when, like, in the 70s? I mean, because you're not an old guy. You're not doddering or anything like that.
Oh, no.
You guys were kids when the band became...
I was 17.
17 years old. What would you, is there anything in that run, that you know, relatively short period of time when you guys were selling all those records that jumps out in your mind where you guys are like, my God, this is absolutely the most incredible thing that's ever happened. I mean, it can either be meeting somebody, you know, meeting someone famous or just the way people responded to you.
No, I think probably, I think the best one was Nathan Phillips Square in Toronto, and which if you get the album Dedication, you can see a picture from it, but... There was 65,000 kids showed up there at Nathan Phillips Square. Now, this wasn't for a concert. This was just for
to see
us. You know, all we did was we just walked on stage and waved. And I mean, the place just went crazy.
And you're 17. This is
and
that.
I thought,
you're
like, okay, I've done it.
Give me the lake. I'll walk across that too.
I know a lot of people probably would want to know without knowing the bottom line figure, but you sell 100 million records. You guys are hot as crap in the 70s. Did you make a lot of money on the records that you sold? Did the record company get more? And, you know, did you make enough that you can do okay, that you can just have fun now playing your song?
Or did all the profits go to a lovely added bathroom in Clive Davis's mansion? I've added on another gold bathroom. Thank you, Whitney. No, it's I'm sorry. Didn't mean to debut my Clive Davis impression here on the show.
He is wonderful little American Idol.
Thank you, Simon.
Listen, trust me, for my 18th birthday, Clive gave me a signed autograph of book of his autobiography.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah, I mean,
an incredibly generous man.
No, Whitney got a house, I got a book.
But did he make a lot of money?
No, do you know something? There was so many... back then, you got to remember, contracts were very loose. We were all kids. There were hundreds of people with their fingers in the pie, and the money went.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean,
and there was some money that was recovered nowhere near.
That's a common, tale. So then I guess the follow-up would be, is it, of course it's worth it to you because it's been your life and you've, and obviously you've had retards like me who are really affected by your music. I love your music. Can you look back now and say, you know, we sold 100 million records.
120 million.
120 million records. That's a lot of freaking albums. I mean, even if you don't have a stack full of cash, can you sit back in your house and just work it and go, oh, God. 100, you know what I mean? You sit down and just pleasure yourself and say, 120 million albums. You know,
I do that quite frequently. You know,
but there's 300 million people in America. That means if they, you know, one out of every two people in America, in theory, bought your album.
You know, but I'll tell you what, there's one thing, and I've got to be very honest with you. If you honestly thought about that amount of money that you didn't get, you would drive yourself crazy.
But
that,
I bet.
Okay?
But,
you know, I don't think about it because I've never had it.
That's what I'm saying, though. Not about the money, but isn't it incredible to think, because people think of the biggest bands of all time. You got the Stones, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, all the bands that we mentioned. You say the Bay City Rollers sold 100 million records.
Yeah.
People would go, I don't believe it. But you know it's true.
Yes.
What I meant is, how much pride do you get from that? I mean, if it's not about the money, because everybody had a finger in the pie, how great is it to sit back at the end of the day and say, we sold over 100 million records?
I just go, yeah, well, that's what I set out to do, and I guess I was part of it.
Daddy, you guys, you were all like in your teens when the band. How were you guys? I mean, discovered. How did they find it? You're from Northern Ireland. The rest of the band from that area too, or
no? They're from Edinburgh. The band was founded by two brothers, Eric and Alan Longmire.
Mm-hmm.
And the band is, you know, obviously had subsequent changes throughout the years. They originally started off as the Saxons.
Mm-hmm.
Then they were picked up by a guy called Tom Payton, who started managing them. He got a guy called Dick Leahy from Bell Records, which was then to be taken over by Arista.
Arista, right.
Mm-hmm.
So Clive and his new bathroom got in there.
You've got to sign these guys. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He's got a good ear.
I tell you what, Clive was really good. I mean, because Saturday Night had already been released in the UK, and it was a flop.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't actually think Clive was really all that interested in the band. You know, initially, I don't think he was, but he gave the band a hit. So, you know, kudos to Clive on that one.
Okay.
You know?
And it worked out okay for him, like Mike said. I'm sure he got more than one bathroom fixture.
Yes, I remember the Bay City Rollers.
I like that. That's a good
one. Thanks so much. Now Ian, pay me in cash.
If I could ask for one more, because you're giving me the hurry-up sign, would you rather do Money Honey or a Rock and Roll Love Letter?
They're both hard to play an acoustic. What do you think, Joe?
Probably
Money Honey. Something.
Money Honey.
We've got a little bit of a different intro to that. Is that a, can we do that?
And we
yeah,
should
sure.
mention Joseph Orlando is
oh, I'm
here
sorry,
with
yes.
you also.
Yes.
Hi, Joseph. How are you?
Hi, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
Joe is my musical director. He directs me on stage and off of it. And
very good.
Did you know this was the song that Patty Hearst sang while she was robbing the bank?
Oh, really? For the Symbionese Liberation Army.
Yes.
Money
I remember
Honey.
That.
Money, money, I'm hurrying up.
Then I do the big leg thing, you know, and
okay.
I'll
show them again. Yeah. Here we go. See, this works acoustically.
Yes.
Turn your head now. Money can get you into bed now.
give more than you get now.
This is goddamn good.
Money, honey, you ain't got no respect. It's not like a box yet just to see what you can get. Money, honey, get your breakfast in bed. Money, honey, oh, you drive me up my head. Living like a princess with a frown.
I'm gonna screw this up for everybody.
Giving, I can't afford to crown. Money, 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 money.
Money.
Honey, 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 honey. Girl, come on, don't bring me down.
All right. Ian, yeah. Both Ian and Joe. Really,
Job.
Love that. Love the music of the Bay City Rollers.
And you guys are
really
going to be at Jam and Java in Vienna tonight?
We certainly will be.
Very, very good.
8 o'clock tonight.
Doors open at 7.
Info, 703-255-1566. Info on our website. Ian, let me shake your hand. I really am a huge fan of the Bay City Rollers.
And likewise, I've been a fan of you guys.
Thank
for
you,
a long
Ian.
Time.
Thanks for coming in.
Joseph.
Joseph, thank you
very
much.
Same with you, Joe. Thank you very much for coming
by. You guys
by.
Sounded fantastic. It was a pleasure.
It was great of you. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to sing with you.
You just can't help yourself.
Because the way I feel tonight, everything will be all right.
Like all DJs.
I'll see you later, Mike. You can sing it.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay, thanks, Ian.
We're all very frustrated musicians. That's what we are. Oh, man. You know what? God. How many years ago was... I mean, the guy looks great. Well, he's 17.
He's a fag. Okay, I'll take all the he's a fag calls that you want.
No, you know what? I liked it.
That was pretty tight.
I did not, you know, you brought these guys in here. I remembered the hits, and you know what? They played the hits. There is nothing better. I've told people this. There is nothing more fun. We don't do it nearly enough than having guys come in that have had hit records and play them, whether it's acoustic or whatever. When you have the artists come in here and play them in the studio, it's the most fun. And, you know, not with a big studio, not with a big production number, just two microphones, and they just hang in there and play. And, you know, the guy's loving life. It's obvious.
Oh, the way I feel tonight, everything will be all right.
You know, when you do it that way, you're on key. You
know,
it's actually, I don't want to say spot on, but it's pretty damn good. You just keep it in that upper register, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's looking at me.
The way I feel tonight.
Don't sing to me.
You've encouraged him.
Mike, everything will be all right.
I don't know which is worse, that or the red panties. I don't remember.
They sing real nice, but what's with that outrageous fake accent? What's he doing?
I love that accent. That's the greatest accent in the world, Rob.
You made me believe in magic.
Okay.
You know that I
put
can
on a TK
be
Tom Kent right now.
Truly
I'm putting
love
a notebook up in front
now,
of my
come
face.
Come on, look at me when I'm singing.
I don't want to.
Mike,
you're I don't mute want to.
Look at me.
Well, the way I feel tonight, God, everything will be all right.
I don't know why that makes me squirm.
Because I'm a great singer.
Now here's the way it sounded when it was released back in the 70s.
Everything I like. Overcompressed, overmodulated, power drums, just big and loud.
Money, money, can make you turn your head down.
Pretty distinctive voice on Ian, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And a voice that's been well taken care of over the years also. That last one that they did, that was the one we really got the feel for who we were having here in the studio.
All right, Bay City Rollers. Cool.
That was fun.
I agree.
Very good.
That was a hell of a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
How'd you luck into that, Kong?
They chased me. Finally gave in.
They chased you.
Oh, that's cool. I like it when they bring their guitars or their keyboards.
All right, so go see them tonight at, oh my gosh. You know, I thought it was bad when the Grassroots were at a craft festival.
Are you going to go?
Why? I just got my own personal concert.
Yeah, but here there's no coffee.
He already made.
At, Jam and Java, they'll be there tonight.
Very good.
Ian Mitchell and...
Hell of a nice guy.
And your Bay
nice
City guy. Rollers. Now,
and Joseph States. Orlando, thank you to him, too.
Hey, Joe Ardinger. Joe.
Joe.
Joe, get out of here.
Yeah, it's time to
you
do it.
You want to see my costume?
Oh, you know, he likes to come
put
in.
Put it on real fast, Joe.
Okay.
Real like fast, please.
I have no idea what he's going to be this year.
He's going to be a beer. He's going to be a beer keg.
Oh, a beer keg. That's right.
Hello, Don.
Hey, we shouldn't know in advance.
Hey, what's up? This has nothing to do with what you guys were going about. I called the other day about the Mark Twain School. Hey, and one thing I did leave out though, if you do act good, you get to go back to your home school. So I'm pretty sure that kid's not going to go back to his home school.
Yeah, yeah. But if you listen to Don's brother the other day, that school was a blast.
Bye-bye.
So to speak. No, sorry about that.
I missed that. No, I, like I said,
he enjoyed it. Didn't he say it was a good school? You got to eat, like, drink chocolate milk?
No.
And,
yeah.
And donuts.
Graham crackers.
Yeah. There he is.
Here he is.
There he is.
Joe in his beer keg outfit.
As a keg.
Hi, Joe.
God.
Okay, now.
How many house frowns are you going to terrorize?
As far as this thing goes, it's maybe his best costume because
it's his most appropriate costume.
It is a big, gigantic body-shaped beer keg, and on the top he has what's that nozzle thing called, Mike?
That's the tap.
The pump.
The tap.
He's got that on top of his head.
Right. He does look like a beer keg. He's got the little extension that you would
almost
have
like
on a keg.
Almost looks like like a German soldier helmet on top of his head.
And speaking of the Bay City Rollers, I was going to those kind of parties when they were making their music.
Oh, right? Keg parties.
Keg parties. Did you have keg parties where, you know, in your part of the world where, I mean, that's everywhere, right?
No.
You didn't do keg parties?
No, never.
Did you do keg parties, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Rob?
See, but I never went to college or anything like that.
I didn't go to college.
Rob.
But I was hanging out with grown-ups.
Rob
invented the keg party.
Rob pursed his lips and looked up at you.
I used to keep a keg at my house just in case. Full size.
They never find seriously, we go down by the river, and, you know, this is mostly when we were seniors because, you know, you couldn't get them unless you were 18.
Right.
And we go down by the wink, wink. And we went down by the river near the tobacco fields, and we'd do that. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Joe is a keg this year, and the deal is... What, Joe?
You can put a beverage in the top.
Oh, yes.
And pour it. Dispense it.
Oh, so you can actually pour a beverage in the top of your head.
Have you cleaned it? Has it been sanitized?
No, I haven't cleaned it.
Oh, I would.
And it comes out the little push. What do you call that thing? With
spigot.
The spigot. Thank you, Mike.
And it's, you know, you get a little salmonella coming through there.
All right. So, Joe, the deal is that Joe will be out in a suburban neighborhood. It's going to be going on 4:45 when we get him on the air here on the East Coast. It'll be light for about another hour.
Yes, and that is a significant fact.
He is going to be going door-to-door on his cell phone in a residential area with his wagon. Now, you have your wagon, right?
Right.
Right, got your wagon. And in theory, Joe will be trick-or-treating for beer.
Right.
Or beer.
The only hitch, of course, is it is the day after Halloween, and we will have to see how people respond. There's enough problems.
It could be an added bonus.
You never know. You never know. And the whole thing that you're the beer keg, you've forgotten it was Halloween.
I was in jail.
All right, good work.
Get out of here. Okay. Go get in your automobile, and we'll talk to you after the commercials.
Here we go.
Oh, I always think about this bit, and I love it. I really do. When he does this, I just hope. I hope it never ends in gunfire.
Time for some trick or beer. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yes, and Mike. Hi.
Hi. Listen, that wasn't Ian singing in the 70s. It was Les McKeon. Money Honey's not Ian singing back in the 70s.
Okay, here's another one of the very nitpickers.
This is what we were talking about before.
I did, in fact, know that. It would embarrass him to say that to him.
Oh, I'm so... Well, can I apologize?
Well, I don't know. Can your mom apologize? I mean, it's a little late for apologies now.
Well,
Hold
on a second.
I'm sorry.
If she was going to apologize, we'd have to find her. In order to find her, you'd have to tell us where she lives.
She lives in West Horrington.
Okay. All right. You know what? You're going to pass. You're going to pass. Because Ian was in the actual Bay City Rollers.
Right.
Tell by his voice, and he's right. The other guy sang. But there's all kinds of creepy stories about the other guy that I didn't feel comfortable bringing up right now. But go ahead. Do your own Google search about creepy stuff that happened to other members of the Bay City Rollers.
Okay, very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, okay.
Hey, does it look like that Joe might be wearing a penis pump on his head?
Similar
to that.
It's very close to the Austin Powers thing that he couldn't get through customs.
You saw the same costume last night, didn't you?
I saw it on Saturday night and was a little disturbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. But hey, you know what? The neat thing is that next year Joe can actually go as a penis pump.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Why?
Just, you know, keep the costume.
Why, well, I mean, but hold on a second, but we'd have to get him a penis suit then.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, it's just an idea. I was thinking
we
out
would
loud.
Just, so what you're saying is we would just keep the top.
Yeah.
That's the,
you can just have Joe go as a, you know,
part.
I mean, it's just another idea for something unusual.
Or we could just write penis on his forehead.
And, you know, and then again, when he gets to the house, again, you know, the phone call goes like this, you know, law enforcement, there's a penis on my front stoop.
How long in my suit?
What, your penis pump suit? Hello, Don and Mike show.
We'll take it in.
Hello.
Hey, were they wearing their tennis shoes?
You know, he did have sneakers on.
He did.
Yeah, that
he
was.
The, yeah, they look like Keds.
Yeah, that was one of the Bay City Rollers trademarks.
Chuck Taylor's is what they look like, right?
Yes, sir. You got it.
And who was Chuck Taylor, anyway?
He was a basketball player, mother Chuck. Yeah, I think he was like, he was Mr. Basketball back in the day.
Was he really?
His real name was Charles.
Mike?
Hello, yes,
Don,
I'm here.
Don and Mike show.
He was
hello, guys. Mike, hey, listen, you mentioned the tobacco fields in Connecticut. You went to Glastonbury, right?
Yes.
Did you ever go down to the Portland quarries?
I never went down to the Portland quarries, but the day camp that I drove a school bus for was in Portland. Was just out to, oh, no, it was in Portland, Connecticut. And do you remember
Right.
And they had a drive-in theater. They
yep,
had a drive-in,
they did.
Very, very briefly. We this is the one story about Portland, Maine. I'm sorry, Portland, Connecticut.
Do you ever go out to the Rusty Nail? Do you ever go to the Rusty
Yes, I did.
Nail
yes, I did. As a matter of fact, that's the first place I ever got into. And
my band used to play there all the time.
All right, hold on. Let me tell this story. Remember we're that? Coming back from a hockey game in Middletown, Connecticut. We're driving by Portland, Connecticut's drive-in theater.
Yeah.
And this is back in the day.
Yeah.
And we got a kid, a midget, like 13, 14-year-old hockey players in the back of the station wagon. There are like six of us back there. And my mom and dad are driving up front, and there is a porno on the drive-in.
On the screen that you could see as you're
yes,
driving by, right?
Well, you could see just little clips, and we just went out of our minds because we'd go by this big pine tree, and then you'd see porno, pine tree, porno, pine tree, porno. And we're like, funny. And you know, even my old man, who was just as straight-laced, and he couldn't help but laugh. Not at the fact that, you know, he's like, oh, God, shut up. You guys shut up back there. And he started laughing because we're like, it's a dirty movie. But we didn't say porno because I don't think,
you didn't know it back then.
We didn't know the name porno. We said, they're naked. And like one of the kids, you know, the goalie, I think, pointed it out. It was amazing.
And what was great about that phenomenon,
Portland drive-in.
I was never able to experience that, but I heard about it as well.
Right.
You know, drive-in theaters, they don't have them anymore. Obviously, you would sit in your car and watch a movie.
Right.
And what Mike is saying is true. You could drive by. I mean, I saw it plenty of times, not with pornos.
Right.
You would just be driving by on Route 50.
Right.
And you could actually watch Jaws.
The one on the highway.
Yeah, right. Like the movie Jaws back in 1976. You could actually sit in your car on the side of the road. Now, you couldn't hear it.
No sound.
But you could watch it.
Now, this thing could have been really just a nude scene
and
in a regular movie, but we said, man, porno.
No, but they did show, and that is
they
an
showed
amazing
pornos
phenomenon.
In drive-ins,
that's
too.
That's an amazing phenomenon.
Yes, yes.
They did show pornos, which, you know, was like, think about it now.
Yeah.
Just a petri dish for every loser.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
I mean,
we had the Berlin drive-in in my town. I mean, outside of in Connecticut, there was the Berlin drive-in. But the Portland drive-in was not known for this. I think we might have been seeing
porno
hard
drive-ins.
R. You know, but we caught it right at the absolute. And you remember R-rated movies back then
used to be
worse than they are now.
Amen, brother.
I should say better than they are now.
Right. Amen. All right. Well, we got a break because Joe's out.
Yeah, he's off taking.
Joe's out. And has he already selected the neighborhood?
He has selected a upper crusty and a lower crusty, and he's going to start upper crusty.
Okay.
Oh, upper crusty, I'm looking forward
to. Start upper crusty.
Yeah.
With Joe.
Good stuff.
Trick or beer, be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.